Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and from England we hear from Father Richard Aunsworth, prior and parish priest of Holy Cross in Leicester, and lecturer in New Testament at Blackfriars in Oxford. Father Richard's preaching today is entitled, Wanting to Be Next to Jesus in Heaven. The reading comes from the Gospel of Mark.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward and said to Jesus, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Today is World Mission Day, on which we are asked to pray especially for missionaries and for those to whom they are sent. Whether those people are in the war-torn regions of Africa or the Middle East, the jungles and shanty towns of Latin America, or for that matter right here in England, if they're to receive the good news of Christ with the rejoicing it deserves, they need to be told the good news that we are all called and destined to share in the glory of Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. As the letter to the Hebrews puts it, Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. But it might seem as though I'm contradicting our gospel reading. Doesn't Jesus tell James and John that they're wrong to want glory rather than servitude? Not exactly. It is not those two, but the other 10 disciples that Jesus rebukes, precisely for getting angry with the two sons of Zebedee. It's true that James and John have heard Christ speak of his own coming passion and do seem oblivious to the darkness of this message. But they have also seen Christ's transfiguration. They have beheld the glory of Jesus's divinity, the transformation of his human flesh into a true image of the glory of God. In the story of the transfiguration, we're told Peter's reaction, let me make three tents and so on. He did not know what he was saying, for they were terrified. But now we hear the reactions of James and John to the transfiguration. They've seen Jesus in his glory, and, to coin a phrase, they'll have what he's having. And they are right to want it. The Word of God humbled himself, stooped down to us in mercy, shared in our weakness and neediness just for this, that we might be wrapped in light as in a robe, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his marvellous light. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. How dare we long for this? We should ask rather, how dare we not? When Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has through his flesh and blood opened for us the way into the heavenly court, then let us indeed approach with full confidence. No, James and John know where they are bound for, not some earthly glory, but the only true glory, which is that of the only begotten Son. But perhaps they don't know what kind of journey it will be. I say perhaps because you could translate from our gospel reading, "You do not know what you are asking," as, "Don't you know? Maybe they do." Jesus' references to his cup and his baptism clearly refer to his death, and James and John do need to know that to embrace their glorious destiny, our glorious destiny, does mean to undertake the same journey through death into life. It's when Christ makes a perfect offering of his life by the supreme example of service that he shows himself to be Lord of all. And this is what gives us our lesson in the meaning of service and lordship. All of us are born into this world to be servants. We are born in weakness, in humility, needing one another. Humanity can only work if we are all servants of one another. But through our sinfulness, we try to shirk this service, to be at the top of the heap, to be served without having to serve ourselves. Or perhaps we find ways of making service another kind of domination, giving people what we think they should have and not what they want or need. But by the service of his perfect sacrifice on the cross, the true servant gives us the power to be ourselves, to have what is ours and to be what we are. In his death, Jesus shows that true service doesn't deprive people of anything, neither the servant nor the served, but sets them all free. Jesus' life and death of perfect service are simply a life and death of perfect humanity, and in them we are all perfected and transfigured and glorified. And I think it is okay for us to want that.